Like just to be free, you must see others free too. John 14:7. If you know me, you will know my Father too. You know him now, and you have seen him. I and the Father are one. This puzzles a lot of people. You see, Jesus was a man like ourselves. He was not born in any unnatural way, not so brought about by bringing a religion into operation to make people believe that there is some means how they could be saved through an organization, and the organization was the church and was built for that purpose. But there's so many different organizations who all claim the same thing. So each and every one say, this is the road, and that's the road, and this is the road. So we all became confused. But Jesus knew all this because he saw it. He knew it all because he saw in his own life and his own living and his own time. He saw the different religions. He saw the Roman religion based upon the Godhead of Caesar. He also saw the religion of the Jews, how the people had to pay into the synagogue so that the synagogue would be kept going. He also saw how that the people had to sacrifice lambs and animals and so forth, which they had to pay for. And all this was going on continuously. He saw it himself. He came to the real state of the Christhood of God. Therefore he said, if you know me, you will know my Father too. You know him now, and you have seen him. I am the Father of one. We don't create anything spiritual. No one creates anything spiritual. What we create is a mental thing. Now look under your own mind and you will see. It is mere ideas you create, mere images, mere beliefs. Whatever the case may be, you create it in your own mind, which is mental. You do not create anything spiritual, because you can. That has already been created, that's existing now at this very moment. You don't create the ever-present, you only create the past or the future in your mind. Therefore, you don't create anything spiritual either, because it exists now, is eternal and ever-present. Now Jesus saw clearly that the Father God was infinite in nature. He saw there could be nothing outside him. He saw also that the life God existed before he created the body for his own self-expression. And that life, that consciousness, would exist after the body had dissolved back into that substance out of which it had been created. This substance cannot be either substance but infinite substance, because God is infinite in nature. And the body couldn't be brought out of anything that was outside God, or something that was separate from God, because it would be another impossibility. So you see, Jesus saw clearly that infinity existed now, and there was nothing else but infinity. You saw the very life that he was himself was God's life, because it couldn't be any other, God being infinite in nature. He saw clearly then that the life that created the body existed before the body was created, and he knew that nothing could create it but God. And what the disciples saw before them was the manifestation of the Father. And that's why it says, and you have seen him. I am the Father of one. It is so very simple when you see the whole thing clearly. Now, in your mind, don't you see, you create images, ideas, beliefs. You react to conditions. But you've conditioned yourselves, and naturally, you react to protect your conditioning from others who are also conditioned. And because your conditioning and their conditioning is not the same, is very much different, then you quarrel over your conditioning, Because you see, you're only creating something that's mental. You don't create anything spiritual. You don't quarrel over the spiritual things, you quarrel over your own mental creation, your own condition. If you see it clearly, you will see then how your mind is made up. And when you see how your mind is made up, you will not react emotionally to any particular revival or that sort of thing, or that revival which we see going out throughout the world today, a revival. A revival is an emotional reaction to a stimulation in the condition of the individual. A revival will stimulate that conditioning, but it's all an emotional thing. There is no thinking about it. Immediately begin to think, then you must think clearly and not be caught up in your thoughts, not be caught up in your conditioning or your own mental creation. And you mustn't think that what you create in your own mind is real, because it can't be real. It can only be mental. It can't be spiritual. Because all you create in your mind is mental, is imagery, illusionary. I want you to see this clearly, because it's most important for your own health and your own freedom. Much of the teaching today, in fact, most of what you hear and read, place the emphasis on controlling the thoughts. Is this not living in conflict? Controlling the thinking is contraction. One may control one's thoughts, yet remain in limitation and separation. Lest you can discern what your thoughts are and how they arise, you only put your freedom further away. Now you're told to control your thoughts. When the thought rises to the surface, you try to banish it. And when you try to banish this thought, you create opposition. But what is that thought? You think that thought is something that's foreign to your own nature, don't you? But altogether, that thought is nothing more than disturbance in your own mind, a reaction to your experiences, your memories, your beliefs, and so forth, that have not been understood. And it is these things that have not been understood that rise to the surface and disturb the surface of your mind. Therefore, you try to banish those things, but don't you see, in this so-called controlling of your thought, you're only suppressing your own unrecognized and ununderstood thoughts on your own creations of the mind. Therefore, they're mental. You rise to the surface and you fear them. There's a fear rises to the surface regarding to the thoughts that you have created. You may say, what am I going to do now? I can't eat, can't walk, I can't think, I can't do this, I can't do that. But all that is your own inhibition. You have inhibited yourself or your own thinking, and now you see, you want to control that thought. How stupid you are. Don't you see that you've got to discern this thought clearly and see it's your own mental creation? And by doing so, you'll understand it. And by understanding it, it will not come up to disturb you anymore. You'll be free from it. Controlling your thoughts is not the thing that is required to eliminate confusion and contradiction and opposites from the mind. If one thought rises to the surface, I try to banish it. And if I can't banish it, I try to create another thought in opposition to it, to superimpose another thought on that one. But does that rid me of that thought that originally risen to the surface to control me or to irritate me or to disturb me? You cannot just superimpose a positive thought on a negative thought, because the negative will still remain. Therefore, you create opposites. Therefore, controlling your thoughts is of no value whatsoever. You will say, I must control my thinking now. I must say now, I mustn't do this. I mustn't think this way. I mustn't think that way. All right, you say, now I must sleep now. And you try to sleep. Before you sleep, something else disturbs your thought. And before you know where you are, you're then caught up in your conditioning. Controlling your thoughts is rubbish. People tell you to control your thoughts and you get further and further away from the real thing. The real thing is hidden underneath the conglomeration of opposites, conglomeration of mental creation, a conglomeration of beliefs. Whether a belief in your own impotency, a belief in your own lack of this or lack of that, or whatever the case may be, that reality is hidden underneath this. But that reality exists eternally. It's not something you create. It's spiritual. You don't create any spiritual thing. Spirituality is goodwill and love, peace and harmony. You don't create these things, and they don't arise out of chaos. They're not the opposite of chaos. They're existing eternally. Chaos is created by you, but that which is spiritual existed eternally and exists now, and you do not create it. It is only when you have discerned all these things that are preventing the expression of it. Your thoughts become clear and distinct. You look at them without fear, without being disturbed mentally. And by doing so, they begin to dissolve away into their own native nothingness. You were the creator of them, the self was the creator of them, and the self is nothing. The self is a bundle of memories, a bundle of experiences, a bundle of beliefs, a bundle of all these things, mental. And it doesn't matter a damn whether they're true or not. And when you look at them clearly, you will see it doesn't matter a damn whether they're true or not. And when you see that it doesn't matter a damn whether they're true or not, then they'll begin to fade away from you because you look upon them without fear, without being disturbed, without condemnation, without criticism. You look upon them just as you will look upon a glass of water, and you will see it as a glass of water, and you understood it, and it no longer troubles you. That is the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. This truth that is above mine. I wish I could put it in a plate and give it to you just as I could give you a glass of water. I know it is difficult because of the people that are caught up in their own thoughts and their own mental creations, and then they try to control those mental creations they have created. And they fear them. Because they fear them, they want to control them and put them aside. All this sort of stuff is waste of time, precious time, and effort. Does not most of the truth literature you read give you instruction on how to make your demonstrations on the physical plane? There is much of this misleading material written and spoken by those who know nothing about themselves, yet they expound ways and means of how to get things. The advocating of so-called spiritual teaching is a worthless imitation of the real. Only when you can discern the false from the real will you free yourself from that which is deceiving millions through this senseless nonsense. All the time they create an idea, and they say, now you build yourself into that eye of you before you. And you begin to build up your idea. And then you begin to think that your idea will come into operation when it's a mental creation. It has no power of its own. Now when that idea falls to the ground, then people will say, God of love couldn't do anything like that to me. Because immediately you create an idea, you always create the opposite. And the opposite always exists in your mind. And the opposite is very often the most stronger. And so it is generally the opposite that manifests. Whatever ideal you create, you always create the opposite to it. And it's neutralized because of the fear you have whether your ideal will be created or not. And if it's not created, if it doesn't come to fruition, then there is a disturbance of the mind. Fear enters in. Then you say, when all things are blown to the wind, you say, my God of love, my God, he couldn't do that to me. Then some people say, there's no such a thing as God. I don't believe there is a God at all. I've had that said to me tons of times to people who have built ideals in their mind and they have been woken up in smoke. That's not creative. Creativeness exists after the mind is free from all opposites, from the power of the opposite, from the power of contradiction, from the power of duality. Then in there there's a silence that comes, not the silence that you create or a silence you enforce, but a silence in which the creativeness becomes known. I am the Father. And that way I look at you, the power flows through you everywhere. For the simple reason that it's creative. It's not an idea or an image, but it's beyond the mind. The mind does not know what it is. It can only know that it is. The consciousness becomes aware of itself, not of what it is, but the consciousness that is unknown, because the consciousness can never know itself. You can never turn back on your consciousness and know what it is. It is unknowable. It is the unknowable that is real. And you find this unknowable in the very heart of yourself after all other things have passed away and dissolved into nothingness. Where it belongs, then that reality, that creativeness that is consciousness. The creativeness, the unknown, an awareness that cannot be defined. I cannot give it to you, I cannot tell you what it is. It can only be found by yourselves when the mind is known. When the mind is understood, when the self dissolves into nothingness and wholeness and completeness, which is now, rests itself without hindrance. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. It wasn't in effect that the Father was limited to one particular man, because the Christ consciousness is not limited to one particular man. The Christ consciousness is beyond man. The Christ consciousness is beyond mind, beyond the self. The Christ consciousness is the Father, the wholeness, the Spirit of God in the whole of humanity. And what do we see? We see the world is full of these ignorant people who boast of their manifestations as proof of the truth. But let them lose all their possessions and see where they stand. The foundation is laid upon the shifting sands of craving. They will tell you that they do not believe in a God anymore. They say a God of love could not do a thing like that to me. Their belief in their outside God destroys the experiencing of reality. It is most difficult for people to understand this because of their conditioning, and their belief gives them a sense of satisfaction. But belief is a mental thing, and I cannot impress upon you too strongly what these mental creations are. If you look into your own mind, you will see how they have come about. I'm going to repeat again. What you've been taught, what you've read from books, what you've been told by others, what you have accepted, your experience, your memories, whether they are good, bad, or indifferent, your beliefs, your ideals, all these are the mental makeup, and that is the thinker. You do not think on anything else except what you know. You cannot think on something you do not know. You can only speculate on something. But you can only think on your own experience, your own memories, what you read, what you learned, and so much you read a lot of Tommy Roth, which is cluttering up your mind, and you're losing the real. I had a man come to me yesterday. He had an inferiority complex, apparently. And he believed, he read in a book, if you have an inferiority complex, you are sure to be important. He turned the book down, he closed it, but that entirely got a hold of him, and he became obsessed with the idea that he was important. A young fellow, therefore, he became important, only because of his idea, of his belief. Now I had to show him all about his mind, how it was created, how he read it, how he got it into his mind, what his mind was, and so forth, before I could even get him to see that it had no power over him at all except the power he gave to it. So a lot of people are reading the same, a lot of rubbish and something else, stuff that doesn't matter whether it's true or not, because you only make mental ideas of it. Reality is not a mental creation. You can't make reality into a mental creation because it cannot be done. It's an ever-present existing livingness that is impossible to create a mental idea of because you don't know what it is. You can only experience it when you know that your mental creation, your beliefs, is not it. So, what do people do now? If they do not find satisfaction in things, in beliefs, they create a super idea of a God. But is that God not a self-made God, which they have fabricated in the mind? But if we would really experience the unknowable, which is not of time, we would not cling to a belief which is but a self-projected image. Anything that is named is not real. It is the outcome of memory, of conditioning, and if it is of time, then it is still part of the mind, for the mind is the result of the past, of the various influences, religion, social, and educational environment. So anything that you name is not a reality. It is only a creation in your own mind. You must get beyond names, because names are separation. Names denote separation and division. Anything that is named is not real. If we understand the conditioning in which we live and the influence in which we are caught up, that understanding brings about a tranquility of the mind. Mind is not made still by force, nor can it be made still through control. If your mind could be made still in this way, it would be a dead mind. When you try to make your mind still through discipline, it may be superficially still, but at the same time, it is in a state of agitation, like a child put in a corner. So you also put your mind in a corner when you discipline it and try to make it still, but by disciplining your mind, you cannot understand your mind. You're forcing your mind into a static state, which in itself still maintains its own opposition and its own craving and its contradictions, which are not understood. Only when we understand the whole process of belief and the search for permanency, when we understand this whole process fully, then the mind is quiet. You always look for a result, for an end, but that something which is real is not a result and has no end. It's not the result of something else, and there is no end. If you're looking for a result, then you're still living in the relative. And you're still caught up in your thoughts because you believe that there is an end or a result. If I can show you in the timeless, there is no result. There is an ever-present reality. There is not a result. And that which is real can be experienced. And it's an eternal expression of reality. There is no end. There is no result. If you're looking for something, then you're caught up in that something you're looking for. But that's something that is real, expresses itself in its continuity, moment to moment. A continuity of itself in its own livingness, in its own eternity. And that is love, goodwill, creativeness, in which there is no opposition, which there is no contradiction, no duality. It is. It doesn't have to be. You do not create it. What you create is a mental idea of it, but that is not it. It is when you know that you are the thinker as well as the thought. When you try to separate yourself from your thought, you then try to control your thought, and this leads to illusion and fear. We think we understand people by giving them a name, a German, a Jew, a Russian, an Englishman, a Hindu, and so on. And if I do not call you by a name, I'm not prejudiced. Then I can look more closely, and by doing so, can understand you. Is it not so that you are already prejudiced when you hear the word Russian, German, Jew, English, Africans, and so on? When you understand your prejudice, then it drops away, and true relationship comes into being. True relationship is one who is true to himself, who has no conditioning as regards nationality, who is beyond nationalities into that particular state where there is true companionship and true understanding. Free from condition. How can you understand anybody if you're prejudiced before you even talk to them? If you have a belief, are you not prejudiced against another? Because no matter how you try to hide the fact, but when you begin to read your mind with all its influences, you will see what lies behind your belief. Then you will begin to understand not only yourself, but you will also begin to understand the other. So, to understand anyone, we must be unconditioned. And therefore you can also see the other person unconditioned. But if you approach any person with your mind prejudiced to the name, whatever nationality it may be, you are already prejudiced and you cannot understand, and you'll have no relationship. True relationship is the secret of happiness. True relationship is love. Because beneath true relationship is the expression of the Almighty, that something that is created, and creativeness is love. So, to help another, I may see the other not belonging to this nationality or belief, or to this or to that, but see him as he is, free. If I am myself caught up in my own petty narrowness, in my nationality, my belief, my society, and ridiculous superstitions, my own nonsense, I see him only through my own conditioning, do I not? If I am caught up in all that rubbish, that is how I see the other person, is it not? I can only see that person through my conditioning, and in no other way. In fact, if I am caught up in my conditioning, I'm only expressing my conditioning every day. To understand one another, we must look at each other free from all this stupid nonsense. Then we will have relationship with another. Then only can we help one another, and this requires an awakened consciousness, free from conditioning. Do you not see now what is hindering the individual and individuals collectively from that happiness that is theirs, that is now? You can see clearly, can you not, that it is in the conditioning of the individual, either through education, through parentage, through nationality, through ideologies, through beliefs, through political ideas or religious ideas, makes no difference. They're all mental, and it's the separation of mankind. The ancient says, the mind is the destroyer of man. And that is a true saying. The mind is the destroyer of man. But when man sees clearly what is destroying him, then he drops it. He's no longer caught up in it. He's free. And in that freedom is reality. And that freedom is love, because there is no opposition. There is no contradiction. There is no separation. There is no division. There is that which existed from the beginning. And it is well spoken in the first chapter of John. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. But the flesh has no say in the matter. The Word was in the beginning. And nothing came into being except through that Word. And the Word was in man, was the light of man. And light is every man that came into the world. An awakened consciousness is a consciousness that is aware of the false, aware of that which is hiding the real. We do not create the real. The real is experienced only when we understand that which is not real and how it comes into being. Now, until we have a true recognition of this, can we expect to have the power, the wisdom, and love of reality? When this is reached, we realize that there is no limitation on an expansion and infinity in which we exist. The majority of people talk so superficially about that which is as something separate from themselves. If you ask what it is, we will say God. But you pursue it further and you will see it is but an image of God, something apart and distinct from themselves. This image is useless, for it is made up in the mind and is not reality. Millions of people pray to God. Millions of people pray to Allah, which is God too. It's only another name. It's substituted. Another name, just as you would pray to God, so they pray to Allah, or whatever name you like to give it. So they pray to God, but 2 minutes after that, are they any different? When they get up from their prayers, in their heart, they have same superstition, the same hates, the same antagonisms, the same conditioning. Are they any different from their prayers? Is the world any better because people have been praying for 1,000 years or 2,000 years since Christ came? Is the world any better? I don't think so. I think it's a damn sight worse. So prayer hasn't added one iota to the betterment of man. Only by discerning clearly what is the cause of preventing the expression of reality and how to pray. And when you pray, as Jesus said, if anyone has anything against you, go and make it right with him. Then come and pray. Then your Father will hear you in secret. So you have everything against everybody. And you come and you pray with everything against everybody. And you think that your Father is going to hear you in secret in your heart. There is enmity, there is jealousy, there is hate, there is antagonism. Your prayers are idolatrous. A God that is separate from yourself is no God at all. Yet the majority of people, including your religious teachers, are merely at this stage. This is the thing that eludes the intellectuals. Their gods are gods they want to comprehend intellectually. The sword is just an image, an idol, a creation of the mind. So the reality of the teaching of Jesus submerged in a sea of sanctimonious formalities that hide the real. I had a man today in Johannesburg. He said, I'm a scientist. I said, yes, and what's that? Well, a scientist knows that 2 and 2 is 4. I say, I know that too. Any fool knows that 2 and 2 is 4. I said, what is a scientist? That is the point I want to ask. I said, the only real scientist in the world was Jesus Christ. That's the only real scientist. Because he found the root of everything. He found the root of creation. And he found the root of creation within himself. That was the greatest scientist in the world. But your science, you read from books. You learned. You're experimenting, yet you don't know whether it's true or not. You're still experimenting. But Jesus didn't. He knew what was true, and he knew what was false, and he knew the createdness within himself. I said, now, you can reason, I hope. He said, yes, I think so. Well, I said, reason want gives you reality. Reason want gives you the real, because the real is beyond your mind. What's in your mind is not true. You don't know whether it's true or not. But you've learned, you've read, experience, talk. I say, and you call yourself a scientist. So I went on, all right, you can reason, I suppose. He said, yes, I can reason. I said, but you won't get at this, what Jesus knew, what the Christ is, in your mind. But you can reason towards it. So I said, God is infinite, is he not? Yes, he said, God is infinite. No doubt about that. Well, I said, there can't be anything outside him if he's infinite. He says, no, that's reasonable. I said, also, he must be everywhere. There can't be a particle in the whole universe where he is not. Otherwise, he could not be infinite. Because if there were one particle where he was not, he could not be infinite, could he? He says, no, that's correct. Well, Jesus said these words, know ye not, I am the Father, and the Father is in me. That's the meaning. He put it in a few words. I'm putting it in a long epistle. I went on for a little while. I said, now you're a scientist. What's this substance? What's this? He said, it's a table. I said, surely you know as a scientist, it's more than a table. What is it? Well, it's wood, you see. It comes from a tree. I said, the tree grows out of the ground, and how does it come about, and what is it? And I said, you come to that state now where you don't know what it is at all. Is that right? He says, yes, I've come to the state I don't know what it is at all. I can see that. All right, I said, you're a scientist. You're supposed to know what it is. Now I said, the very substance out of which this is created is out of the one substance because it must be infinite in nature because there can't be any other substance. God being infinite in nature, there can't be a substance of something else. But as science has proved as far as it will go, that matter itself is energy, it is a combination of atoms and electrons which we know to be energy. But the energy has a direction which we know it must be intelligence and action. And perform it, you don't create it. He says, that's true. Was an intelligence that existed before you were born, an intelligence that brought you into the world, that knows how all these things go. He says, yes, I believe it. All right, I said, now we're getting nearer. Now all you see, you've created that in your mind. I've reasoned with you to the ultimate, but I can't tell you what the ultimate is. But after you have got rid of all your beliefs, your ideas, your images, no matter how great they are, and your reasoning must also cease. And when the mind is quiet, in that stillness, then you will know. You will never know the unknown, but you will know that the unknown is expressing itself. and you will experience that expression. And said, I see now. So in something wrong with his brain, I said, now I know a child where the brain has been completely obliterated practically or upset. The brain of one child has been contracted. The doctor said it could not live. Body became so thin and emaciated that there was nothing to it. And I said to the mother, the life that created this brain exists now. That life is not separate from me. It's the same life. Therefore I said, in this understanding, the intelligence will work, creating and building up a structure according to the divine design. In the one man, in the Christ, the perfect man. That is the image, the only son of the living God, the Christ, the perfect man. Well, to the astonishment of every person, the child grew up to be a perfect child and be a normal child, supposed to be there. Several of Mongolian types of children who retarded probably 250 years back, where the brain had not come forward, the features were distorted, no bridge to the nose, and all these sort of things, and yet these children are now normal. And their parents were asked by the doctors to put them into an institution because they could never be any better than they are. These are not isolated cases, there are hundreds of cases I could mention to you. I said, that was the real scientist. And I said, that is how you're going to get well too. There is no other way. Then he said, I believe. I said, believe me or not, I don't care. I said, that is the way you're going to get well. Now, when we see this clearly, and you accept it in your own mind, you see, when Jesus asked the woman, wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? How did you touch the garment of Master? Free from all things, knowing that she touched the garment, that she would be free. But she touched a certain way, a certain way that when the whole mind is obliterated and caught up in one complete fire of faith, where the spirit becomes paramount and the consciousness becomes aware, that moment she was healed. So the Master said, thy faith has made thee whole. Existed now. The very means of wholeness exists now. You do not create it. The only thing you do is to eliminate the things that are preventing its expression. And that is your own mental creation. That is why many churches today are but semi-political institutions, teaching separation, distrust, and antagonisms. The condemned Sunday sport that engages in the diabolical sport of fostering antagonism and hatred. How is it possible to have peace when man's religious life is saturated with suspicion and superstition? Mind is energy solidified in form. Energy is the intelligence in action, and consciousness is the director. Our relation to the universal mind is as ice is to water. Water is to steam. Therefore, there is no separation anywhere. The invisible is not separated from the visible. The ice is to water as water is to ice. And water is to steam as steam is to water. With this understanding, we realize the truth of what Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. There's no difference above or below, out of the body or in the body. Same power was given to the consciousness that existed before the body was created. When we understand the cause of our limitations, our feeble efforts will be dropped. Then the consciousness of life with thought, its messenger, with the clothes in form, it will not be seen as something outside reality, but in reality itself. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So it is when the inner becomes the outer. Now if the inner is fed on ignorance, ill will, antagonism, then it expresses itself in the outer, both in circumstances and in the body, because the body is mind materialized. But when the outer is understood, and all the false is understood, then the inner becomes that renewal every moment and moment by moment, the ever-present life. And as the inner becomes that renewed life every moment, so the outer becomes the same. Life is expressed on the surface, and there the Christ is seen, just as the Christ was sourced through Jesus, and Jesus manifested the Christ. So shall man do so when he has reached that state, when he understands his own mental creations and know how false they are. We must think for ourselves and not allow others to do our thinking for us. But this is what others do not want us to do. As long as you are prevented from thinking for yourself, you will be dominated by others. Nothing can lead you to the truth except the understanding of yourself. When you are beginning to see that which is false, you are beginning to see that which is true. And that which is true has no division. There are two sides to a coin. One is the head and the other is the tail. Both are on the same coin. Good and evil is the same. You cannot separate them. They are both in the mind at the same time, are they not? And when you desire the good, you fear the evil. When you understand this, they both drop from you. And reality, which is not of the mind, but which is love, wisdom and power, comes into being. He who possesses my commands and obeys them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and appear to him. Benediction. O wisdom, thou art my guide. O love, thou art my light. Only when I began to see the false, did I begin to see the true. When I accepted what others said, I lost the power to think. When I believed as I did not know why I believed. So I was caught up in the net of my own conditioning. Oh, wonderful wisdom, as I opened myself to thee, so didst thou reveal myself to myself. O wonderful love, thou didst flood my heart with thy sweetness, and I saw the beauty of thy wholeness. Now, O wisdom, I see my brother stripped of all conditioning, as myself have been freed. Now, O love, my nature thou hast made complete with thy sweet holiness. How you have craved for that but it has not come. The craving for peace does not bring. Is only knowing that which is hidden. Peace was before the world began. The peace was in the world at the beginning. It existed because it was the Christ, the Creator, was in all things. Therefore I am the life, the living life, the only living. No division. All my brothers. There is one Father in heaven. Oh.